This episode is brought to you by Entrust Data Card, now offering a webinar series on creating more secure online interactions with your citizens while broadening the range of services that you can offer using strong identity authentication and digital signing technologies. Learn more at entrustdatacard.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the AnvaCast, Anva's podcast series. I'm your host, Ian Grossman from Anva. And for this episode, I have two wonderful guests. It's our first time with a three-way conversation, so we're going to see how that goes. It's an experiment. Bear with us. I have Mike McCaskill from the Florida Highway Safety Department, who is also the chair of Anva's Car Design Standard Committee, which also makes him the chair of our Joint Mobile Driver's License Working Group. And also joining us is Jeff Slagle. Jeff is the Director of Identity Management for Anva and is working hand-in-hand with Mike to lead not only the Anva work on mobile driver's license, but in very much sitting in the driver's seat, no pun intended, on the international efforts around mobile driver's licensing. Welcome, gentlemen, to your first AnvaCast.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
So I want to jump into it. You know, we so many of us are working in and around this mobile driver's license topic. We could spend hours, days, unpacking the different elements of the mobile driver's license. And for those that are maybe less familiar with it, that are listening for the first time, Jeff, couldn't you give in X words or less that kind of snapshot, that high level, when someone says a mobile driver's license, what is that?
Sure. Well, we get this question quite a bit. And in its most simplistic terms, a mobile driver license, or an MDL, is the electronic representation of that physical credential in really just zeros and ones. And as I say zeros and ones, I'm actually holding up my fingers in sort of air quotes. And the advantages of an MDL are quite significant in what they can deliver compared to a physical credential. And as we have been making progress as a community and also as a planet in automation and trying to be more conscientious when it comes to things like privacy, we see something like MDL really being able to deliver on a lot of those fronts.
And so, as I said, we won't have time to unpack all the elements of it, but it's interesting that you say, you know, we're moving towards this as a planet. And for the last 3.5 months, as a planet, we've experienced a new reality that has brought the term contactless interactions into the mainstream more than ever. Mike, how do you see that contactless interactions shifting, supporting, or playing into the conversations we're having around MDL?
I see it as a huge influence in the MDL solutions. Over the last 3.5 months, as you've said, we've basically been in a lockdown situation where contactless transactions have been kind of the focal point of things. And obviously the MDL is center point of all of that. I know for me personally, I've had many, many phone calls from around the country and of course, actually across the globe, asking, you know, where we are with getting an MDL solution in place so that we can have this. Our state and national leaders have asked those questions, and, you know, we've responded with we are much closer than we have been before. And obviously, when we get to the point of being able to put those solutions into play, we need to be interoperable. So one of the things that are holding us back just a little is making sure that interoperability is available. But it certainly has brought it to the focal point. It's a much heightened topic now than it was 4 months ago.
So Jeff, paint that picture for us. When Mike talks about that it come to reality, it could be contactless. Again, for that person that hasn't been in and around the work as much, what does that mean in terms of putting the ones and zeros on a device and how I might use my driver's license today versus what I may do in the future when I have this MDL?
Sure. So the typical scenario when a person has had to present their driver license has been one of a physical interaction where they actually had to go into their purse or they had to go into their wallet and they had to actually hand over the physical card to whoever that relying individual, relying party, relying entity was that was depending on, does this person actually have the privilege to drive? And at the same time, can I identify who they are? And in that, there is obviously the act of handling and touching someone's physical credential, handing it back to them, and then that individual, of course, returning it to their purse or their wallet. And it was a little bit of an epiphany for us on the other side of the pandemic becoming a reality that we were all living with, that there is a risk actually in the transmission of something where a person who may unknowingly have been affected by something like COVID-19, having handed over something physically that they were carrying around to someone who would then interact with it. And in the case of someone, a relying party who may be standing at post and having to interact with many people repetitiously, you can obviously see quickly where there starts to become a potential risk. And of course, the reverse is true, where perhaps a person who has not been exposed or is you know free from this thing has handed over a physical credential to someone who then may have been exposed and is then handing it back to the person. And so in technical terms, what MDL actually does is it completely alleviates this. As Mike was describing, thanks to the standardization, this transaction now is completely contactless, where I can walk up to a clerk, or I could be at the roadside with law enforcement, and I can be asked for my driver license to either prove the privilege to drive or to prove my identity. And the entire transaction that goes down is one that is contactless. At no point in time do I ever actually have to hand anything over to whoever it is that I'm interacting with. And it's the standardization work that we have been engaging in that makes all of this possible.
Well, what does that mean when you say the standardization work? Is that, are you and Mike sitting down and writing the blueprint? Are you, who's around the table when you say the standardization work to figure out how best to implement this?
So I'll take part of that. Several years ago when AMVA began the EID working group, we began sitting down and working through what functional requirements we would need for an electronic identification. Over time, we have developed those functional requirements, and we also merged with the Card Design Standards Committee to form the Joint Working Group. And in that Joint Working Group, we published a functional requirements document that the ISO working group, or that is working on the actual standardization for interoperability, is using for their standard. So the states, the jurisdictions in our working group have come together to say, these are the functional requirements we need. ISO, please go forth and create some standards around these functional requirements so that states and jurisdictions across this country and across the globe can interact interoperably, so that when I use my MDL in Georgia or the Netherlands or anywhere, they can consume my MDL and the transaction can take place. So that functional requirement started in the working group and then was handed off to the ISO group, which Jeff and Lafayette are both part of, and I'll let Jeff work through what the ISO group has done with those functional requirements.
Thanks, Mike. So that ISO committee has, for the last two decades, been working on standardization around the actual driver license itself. And the work that has been going on with MDL is the work that's necessary, as Mike was describing, in order for a person carrying an MDL to be able to use that regardless of where it goes. And Mike talked about the functional requirements. We casually have referred to the functional requirements as the what an MDL really is and what it needs to be. And the work that's been going on inside of ISO is really the how. How do you create an MDL and how do you use and consume an MDL? And one of the things that everybody who's been involved in this, from the issuing authorities like Mike to the companies and vendors that are the ones that are the most active and pervasive around the planet in work that would relate to mobile devices and even information technology in general, all recognize that in order for this to work, you also have to have a path that leads to a better likelihood of adoption. And that path is made up of a combination of things. One of the things that's super, super important is security. And so from the very, very beginning, all of the work that has been going on inside of AMVA and also inside of ISO has had the security implications in mind. It's far easier to build something and to secure it from step one than to build it and then try to go back and figure out how you secure it. And the same is true with privacy. We wanted to make sure that what we've been working on was privacy-centric. And so all along at every step, we've made sure that we're helping to promote concepts like data minimization, which effectively means that an individual should not have to provide any more personal information about themselves than they need to. And then the other thing that's super important here and a real key to success is the user experience. If people don't find using an MDL to be something that is on the more intuitive side and is a little bit more easy to do and a little bit more natural, then the chances of it actually working and gaining any kind of traction quickly is low. And so to date, the good work that's been done by the AMVA community and others around the planet is showing that the user experience with MDL can and is a very positive one. And much of that is in thanks to us leveraging pre-existing technology. Right now, the only thing that an individual would need to have in order to carry an MDL, and the only thing that they would need to have in order to consume or to actually verify an MDL, is nothing more complicated than a commonly available smartphone. And it's even possible that an individual can carry around the actual MDL on something other than a phone. It could be another quote unquote mobile device, whether that is a watch or a wearable, a tablet or something else. But the point that I'm making is just that we were able to, up to this point, create a standard that leverages very, very commonly available technology that should make the use and the leveraging and the adoption of this technology very, very achievable.
So when does that start to happen? I mean, I know, you know, you've mentioned there's been a lot of work on this. The technology, it sounds like, is out there if it's something as simple as a smartphone device. When can I start using mine? I guess a lot of people might be listening and asking themselves.
So that's an interesting question. And The real answer is very, very soon. We do have one jurisdiction who is already issuing compliant credentials. At least that's what the indication is. But what we have to be careful of is we don't put implementations into play that are not interoperable. And so we've been working through the working group and with other like groups to educate individuals about how this is going to work. The time frame is really up to the jurisdiction. I know many jurisdictions are looking at this process right now. A couple have already put implementations into play. Some are very close to putting implementations into play. And I would venture to say over the next several months, you're going to see some other implementations come in. So it's very near. I think the last 3.5 months with the COVID pandemic has certainly boosted that implementation schedule to a degree. But you will be seeing some come into play. I'm guessing within the next few months, before the end of the year, certainly you will see some additional jurisdictions come on. But one of the things that we as an AMVA working group and an AMVA community have to do is educate ourselves onto what that really means. I know the working group right now is one of our major topics is educational material, some of which will come out of this podcast, I'm sure. But we have to educate the masses on what they're going to have when they get one, what it means to them individually, what it means to them as a jurisdiction. How can they leverage it for other things other than just identity? Those are all things that have to be done over the next several months, and we've been working on for the last several months.
So, Mike, I want to come back to some of those education opportunities, but I'd like you to quickly give us a for instance. You're in Florida. Jeff also happens to be a Floridian. What's the outlook for Florida? It's one of our, you know, more populous states. It's an opportunity to spread it among the masses. What's your trajectory there in your own case study, for instance, of Florida?
So we're in the throes of looking at implementations. I think you're going to see something soon out of Florida. We've done a lot of research, gone to a lot of effort to determine what we need to do and how we need to implement. And we're getting there. As with other jurisdictions, it's just a long process.
Yeah. Does Jeff get to be one of the first in line to get the Florida
MDO? he certainly will come to mind when we look to issue the first ones. Absolutely.
Yes, I'm quite eager and quite excited about the great work that's been going on in Florida. And I know that this is going to come off as some kind of a bias, but I have to say that I do think that Florida has been an excellent model in what we would hope that all jurisdictions would do. And that is to pay very close attention to the work that has been done inside of AMVA. We have pulled together as a community and through the joint working group guidance documentation to help in providing a map on what needs to be done in order to implement. And even though we're at the very, very, very end and getting ready to cross the finish line with the standardization, the majority of what was necessary for an initial implementation has been available for some time and has been stable enough to be used. And so Florida has done an excellent job in making sure that it was aligning to all of that work and has continued to stay in close communication with us as an organization, as well as sharing their experiences within the working group and within the community.
And all those materials can be found on AMVA's website, correct?
That's right. They can go to aamva.org, and on the landing page on the left-hand side right now, there is a list of sort of topics in spotlight, and I believe that the very first one is related to mobile DL.
And the additional education and outreach that Mike referred to beyond those reference materials, what folks who want to learn more about this, what should they look out for? Where should they go look for it?
Definitely, AMVA is an excellent resource. And so in addition to the website that we have and the documentation that is available through the website, they absolutely should feel free to also reach out to the AMVA team. We are very fortunate to have excellent subject matter experts on the team. Mike made a comment earlier, reference a gentleman named Lafi. That's Lafi Jordan, who is one of our business solution architects in the information technology division at AMVA. And we have the good fortune right now of Lafi playing a very significant leadership role inside of ISO and inside of that committee that's doing the standardization. We have other team members as well that folks should reach out to. Mindy Stevens, our manager of identity management, myself, as well as connections to folks within the joint working group.
Speaking of that expertise, you mentioned the joint working group. Mike, you're leading the working group, but certainly, you know, we are really fortunate that as the AMVA community, you're willing to invest that time and energy in addition to your day job, quote unquote, to steal Jeff's air quotes from earlier on. Will you tell the folks that are listening a little bit about your role in Florida that really keeps you busy the entire day before we get to benefit from your extra work on MDL?
Sure. My day job is actually the Chief Administrative Officer for the Florida Highway Patrol, where I make sure they have the budget to do what they need to do, along with legislation and statistical work. So that's my day job, which is an interesting leverage point for the MDL. By being part of the Highway Patrol, I also get to see their operational procedures and how they do things roadside and otherwise. So it gives me a unique opportunity to see kind of both sides of the frame, if you will, what law enforcement would look for in an MDL and what the citizenry would need to do to hand them an MDL, which obviously is contactless. So I'm able to work with our IT folks here in Florida to ensure that the patrol would be ready once Florida implemented an MDL. But also in my same organization is our Motorist Services Division, which is responsible for the driver license in Florida. So we have both hats. We have both law enforcement and we have the driver license division. So I kind of play a go-between here between law enforcement and motor services to ensure that from my AMVA perspective, motorist gets all of the information that we're working in the joint working group. Law enforcement gets that same information so they can create their IT processes. And motor services also gets the benefit of knowing where we are with ISO adoption and those kinds of things. So it's been an interesting ride over the last several years. I actually moved from our IT division into the Highway Patrol during the time I've been on this working group. So really, I've been put into places where I've been able to benefit my divisions, my agency as a whole, my state, and of course, the AMVA community also. And it's been a privilege. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to have been able to do
that. And you're being very modest. You've worked in and around this space for not just a few years. I mean, I remember meeting you for the first time a little bit over a decade ago around conversations around Real ID and state to state at the origins of kind of those conversations. So your history with Florida, we all appreciate your modesty, Mike, but I think how many years has it been that you've been with the agency in Florida? Am I outing you a little too much?
No, I'm actually having to remember somewhere around 18 right. years.
And Jeff, your story is fairly similar. You've worked in and around this topic of ID management, both on the association side and the private sector side for How many years now?
Well, it's funny that you should ask that. Today is in fact my anniversary. I started with AMVA on this day in 1997. So 23 years to the day that I have been working in and around the topic of driver license identification security. And as you point out, really feel like that I have been so fortunate to have worked both at AMVA as well as within AMVA's associate membership. And the progress that has been made, and to be able to look back over the last 23 years and to see how far the community has come in its efforts is really quite amazing. And I guess the people that we're working for within our community and our members, I don't think have a bigger cheerleader in anyone other than me, because I have worked alongside of them and I've tried to support them and have seen the challenges that they've faced. And it's just absolutely astonishing that they've done as well as they have, given all of the challenges that they've, you know, that they've faced. But again, I think it's a testimony to the metal that makes up the people in the AMVA community.
Well, it's funny you say metal, because the 23-year anniversary gift is a silver plate. So
is it really?
It is.
That's fantastic.
So, gentlemen, thanks for joining us for this issue of the AMVAcast. You know, as we know, we're all talking around this conversation that could go on for hours, days. It's been going on for years. Perhaps we'll have you both back in a future episode to dive a little more deeply into some of the different elements that we don't have all the space to unpack today. But I hope you're both staying tongue twister, staying safe and healthy during this time. Also want to thank our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and we will see you all on the next edition of the AMVAcast. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us for AMVAcast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Entrust Data Card. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.